fact, evidently somewhere in the Bible it talks about a thief. Well, this message really hits home to me personally and to our family. You see, because on December 16th, 2001, a little over a year ago, we came here for church. We went back home, and I noticed the front door was open. And usually we don't leave the house with the front door open. Most of the time we get it shut and locked. Then I went in and looked around, and we had a Christmas tree and presents. And I noticed that the presents were unwrapped, and it was only December 16th. And I'm thinking, at least this time I didn't do it. Ruth can't blame me. I wonder what those kids have been up to. Then I went upstairs. And in our bedroom, they had opened up dressers, and there was clothes all over the place. I went into the kids' rooms, and their rooms were a mess. And I'm thinking, boy, I'm going to talk to Ruth about this. How can we live like this? And I said, wait a minute. And I looked around. I went into my closet, and there were things missing. I went back downstairs and into the front room, and they had taken things apart there, too, and taken things. I walked back to the door, and I thought to myself, a thief's been here. And that happened to us. It's kind of an interesting feeling, kind of an unsettling feeling, to be honest with you, if it's happened to you. And I called a couple people here at the church just to let them know, and we cleaned up and we went through an inventory of what we thought we had lost. And in fact, I am still finding things a year later. Do you know that we were looking at some other used cars, and they took our titles to our vehicles, and it's a year and a half later, and I didn't even recognize or remember that they took our titles, so I had to send off for them. We are still recovering from that thief. Now, let me tell you what Lake Elsinore's Finest told me. How do you prepare for a thief? All right, give me some ideas. How would you prepare for a thief so a thief couldn't come in and do what they did to our house? All right, a security alarm, very good. Not a bad idea. A big dog, all right. A big dog. Keep the door closed. Thank you so much. No, I didn't leave the door open. All right. Here's what Elsinore's Finest will tell you. They told us. I had a great talk with this officer. They came in through the outside garage door. We actually had the door that goes from the garage to the backyard. We have a door that does that. Most homes do. He said, that's typically where they'll come through. He said, one, put bolts on that door. And so since that time, we have added two sliding bolts on that particular door. That's one thing you can do. He says, a thief, when they come, they don't want it to be difficult. They don't want it to be noisy or loud. They want to be able just to get in easily. They came through that door with a screwdriver. That's how they got into our house. He said, the next thing is get a big dog. And so we ended up, I'm not sure if we've done this yet, we've ended up getting Bailey the Beagle. And so Bailey the Beagle is a three-year-old beagle. And I think probably as tenacious as she is, she'd probably lick anybody to death before she would do anything. But anyway, we now have Bailey the Beagle as our security watchdog. And then finally, the other thing that needs to be done, and we didn't do this, and I did learn this, the door between your garage and your house, if your house is set up that way, you need to deadbolt that one. We never did. It's a hassle. You know, the garage door opens, you drive in, and you just walk into the house. Well, now we deadbolt that particular door. They said because if you would have had that bolted, they may have gotten things out of the garage, but probably would not have gotten into your home. That is what Elsinore's Finest told me, in addition to some of the other fine suggestions that you've given to me, and I'll make sure and shut the door and lock the door. Thank you for that advice. Whoever gave that, Chris Stefanski. All right. But this morning, we're going to talk about a thief that you really can only prepare for in one way. There is only one way you can prepare for this thief. You can do all the things that Elsinore's Finest tell you to do, but for this thief, there's only one way to prepare for this. We're in a series. It's entitled what? Living God's Way. All right, who's playing with the curtains over here again? We got a car parked over there. It is. I can see that. All right, here. I have to get Rick Rourke to stand there or something like that. All right, Living God's Way. Today we're talking about what? Being ready for a thief. We're going to continue our study here in 1 Thessalonians. We are in chapter 5, and we're going to look at the first 11 verses. And if you don't have a Bible with you this morning, that's fine. If you'll open the blue Bibles that you have to page 837, you'll be right with us on page 837. Let me encourage you to do that. How is the one way that you can prepare for a thief? That's what we're going to talk about this morning. Now, let me just review. The idea in the book of 1 Thessalonians is we want to be set apart to God, to be sanctified, to be set apart to Him. And what we've been doing is just been going through, looking at different ways that we need to be set apart to God. And we are in the third part of this book, and what we're talking about now is to establish us in our hope. To establish us in our hope. Last week, we looked at an event called the what? Wow, I had such a profound impact. I even showed a video last week. It was on the rapture last week, and we saw part of the video left behind where the people are caught up to be with the Lord. That's part of establishing us in our hope. Today, we're going to continue on with an event called the Day of the Lord. Not the Day of the Dolphin. The day, that was a movie, wasn't it? Yeah, it was. Day, before some of you, you wouldn't know that, but the Day of the Lord. Let me do something. I don't often do this. You don't have to. Do you guys know, how many know what the Day of the Lord is? Just by show of hands, you think you have an idea? Okay, all right, good. This is an interesting concept, and we're going to talk about it. Last week, we were talking about the dead in Christ. What will happen with them? They will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. Today we're going to be talking about the living, not the dead. Last week we talked about the rapture, to be caught up together with the Lord in the air. Today we're not talking about the rapture, but the day of the Lord. You want to know what that is? Well, maybe you don't. Okay. Let's just go home now. We can watch Tiger Woods. No, he doesn't come on till noon, so let's go through this. All right. Chapter 5 and verse 1. Here we go. Now, brothers, about times and dates, we do not need to write to you. Now, he starts out saying there are certain events. There are certain times when they will take place, these events. But to be honest with you, we don't know when they're going to happen, Paul is saying. All we know is the certainty based on God's word that certain events will take place in the future, and only God knows when these events will take place. Verse 2, for you know very well that the, here it is, day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. All right, it says the day of the Lord is coming, and the way in which it's going to come is like a thief in the night. All right, so the first question is, what is this term, day of the Lord? All right. The day of the Lord is an Old Testament term. It's an Old Testament term, and it's referring to two major events. It's referring to the judgment and then the blessing. So you have judgment and blessing involved in this term, the day of the Lord. First and foremost, the Lord will come in judgment. And many feel, as I do, that that is talking about the tribulation, God's wrath being poured out on the earth. Then He will come in blessing. Following the tribulation, we have what is called the second coming. Then we have the millennial reign for 1,000 years. It's a time of blessing and peace. So this term doesn't describe one event, but a series of events, including the judgment, which would be the tribulation, and the kingdom, or the millennial kingdom, established on the earth. Okay, so what we have seen then, if you put chapter 4 and 5 together, there's an event called the what? Rapture, where we will be caught up to be with the Lord, then enters into a time called the tribulation for 7 years. Then we have an event called the millennium, 1,000-year reign of the Lord on the earth. And that's what we're going through in these couple of chapters. Now, I have already done a message on these events. And I have done this in the past. Now, I tried this last week, but I forgot to include it, and Cindy reminded me so lovingly. All right, here's what you need to do. Here's what you need to do to find out about those events I just described. Go to our website, lakehillschurch.com. As you navigate down the one side, it'll say messages. Go there. Then go to past messages. Very simple. Then you're going to go into a series entitled Left Behind One. I did this about a year and a half ago. Left Behind One. And with that particular series, look for the message, If You're Left Behind. I did that. Remember, I said, if you're left behind, you've missed the rapture, you're in the tribulation, you may see the second coming of the Lord. And we talk about those events, and it's all spelled out. You can go to the website, go to this particular area, and just download that sheet. And it gives you the references, the verses, and it talks a little bit about that. Because I have already done that series, and we've talked about this. All right, it says then, he's going to come like a thief. He's going to be an event that is sneaky. You're not going to know. We had no idea that this thief was going to come and do this to our house. In the same way, when this time begins, he's going to come like a thief in the night. We will not know. Look at verse 3. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly, as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. The day of the Lord, evidently right before this time, people are going to have a false sense of peace and security and hope, putting it in maybe a variety of areas. Then all of a sudden, bang, the day of the Lord is going to begin. And it's going to catch people unaware. The tribulation will break upon the world like an unbelievable event. Like a thief in the night would come in. Like labor pains on a woman. How quickly they can come. Now, obviously, ladies, I am a man, and I cannot completely identify with that example. But you can, and we can empathize with you, right, men? That is so weird. All right, you can't even empathize. Don't even try to. All right, just like labor pains, when they come right away. That's what my wife told me. Immediately, bang, they're right there, and you're in labor. Same way Paul uses that illustration. That's not my illustration, that's Paul's illustration. Labor pains on a woman. And he chose that. Here's the key. They will not escape. The reality is the events that God has planned out. You can fool people, you can fool the pastor, you can fool whoever you can, but you will not fool God. You will not escape from this if you are alive at this time. All right, here we go. On your outline then, here's how I've set this up. The thief will get you if you, and then verses 1 to 3, what we've been talking about, the thief is going to get you if you, number 1, don't know the Lord. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, when this event happens, you will be left here. The key here is to know the Lord. When I get to the end of the message, we'll talk about what does it mean to know the Lord so you're certain. Look at point A on this. You will face destruction. You will face destruction. That is the word used in verse 3. And the idea of the word destruction is utter hopelessness and ruin for those that end up going through this period of time. Referring specifically to the tribulation. B, you will not escape God's wrath. There is a wrath that we have today, a present wrath. But folks, it's nothing compared to God's wrath that is going to be poured out on the earth at that time. Well, you know, I haven't done this very often, but what will God's wrath look like? And let me give you a couple verses on your outline. Just put them off to the side there. Let's go. And what we're talking about now is that period of time that begins immediately after the rapture called the tribulation. 7 years, and we know that from other messages and things that I've shared with you. Let's get a little snapshot of it. What is it going to look like during this time? Revelation chapter 6, verse 4. Read this verse with me, will you please? Then another horse came out, a fiery red one. Its rider was given power to take peace from the earth and to make men slay each other. To him was given a large sword. All right, one aspect of the tribulation time is war all over the place. Its rider was given power to take peace from the earth and to slay each other. In the tribulation, there will be war after war after war. We have wars in our world today, but it's going to pale in comparison to this time called the tribulation. What else is a part of the tribulation? Revelation chapter 6 and verse 6. What's another part of the tribulation? Then I heard what sounded like a voice among the four living creatures saying, a quart of wheat for a day's wages, and three quarts of barley for a day's wages, and do not damage the oil and the wine. What does it sound like is going on here? Very good. It is a famine. Famine would be the key word from Revelation 6:6. In this period of time, called the tribulation, there will be famine unprecedented, like has never been seen in our world. Famine will be a part of this. Look at, finally, Revelation chapter 16 and verse 8. Verse 8. Read this with me. The fourth angel poured out his bowl on the sun, and the sun was given power to scorch people with fire. Not pretty. This is the idea there will be heat waves that are unprecedented during this time called the tribulation. Unbelievable heat will be on the earth during that time. All right. Not a good period of time, right? No, not good at all. But what we are studying, what we understand, is that God provides a way of escape from this. And what many believe, as I do, is that we will be caught up to be with the Lord before these events begin. That's something to say amen to, isn't it? Can we say it?
Amen.
Absolutely. I'm at verse 4 of chapter 5. Now what's going to happen is we're just going to go back and forth with the discussion of believers and the type of awareness we need to have, and people who don't know the Lord, unbelievers, and the kind. It just goes back and forth and contrasts these issues. Look at verse 4. It says this, "But you, brothers, are not in darkness so that this day should surprise you as a thief." He is now talking to believers. We're not in darkness. This is a metaphor. And he's using it as an example of sin and wickedness. You are not there. It's interesting, verse 4, that this day should surprise you as a thief. It's encouraging words that we can have. Verse 5, "You are all sons of the light and sons of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness." He said, you are sons of the day and sons of light. And they're just, it's just in Christ, in God, when you know Him as your personal Savior, you are not in the darkness, you are in the light. And He uses this example quite a few times. You belong to God. And the "we" here, interestingly enough, "we" includes Paul and all believers. Let's continue on. Look at verse 6. It says this, "So then, let us not be like others who are asleep, but let us be alert and self-controlled." And the term here, asleep, refers to those who are unbelievers in Christ. Don't be like them. And the idea here to be asleep has to do with moral and spiritual lax, to be lax in this area. And we've been talking about this in chapter 4, specific examples of these kinds of things that we are to do to honor God. We need to be self-controlled. We need to be under control. And then what he does now, continuing on in verse 7, he now illustrates, "For those who sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night." Sleep and drunkenness here are associated with the night. These people are not watching. They're not focused on the Lord's return. They're focused on their own needs, their own desires. And he says, but that's not you. You're of the day, not of the night. And he just goes back and forth with this imagery through these verses. Look at that. But since we belong to the day, let us be self-controlled, putting on faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet. Since believers of the day, literally what he's saying here is get dressed. And he's giving us some of the apparel that we're to wear. One is self-control. Another is, in the context of this, our salvation here is from the day of the Lord. We will not go through that difficult time. That's our hope. Look at verse 9. Verse 9 is a key verse. But since we belong... I'm sorry, verse 9. For God did not, what? Appoint us to suffer wrath. Here is a key verse in the New Testament. But to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. The wrath here he's talking about is the wrath that God is going to pour out during this time called the tribulation. Some of those verses I shared with you. He said, you are not appointed for that. You will not go through that time because God did not appoint us to wrath. He will deliver us. And if you put these two passages together, he will deliver us by way of the rapture. The rapture, when we are caught up to be with him, if we are alive at that time. We will be caught up to be with him. We will be spared the tribulation. He died, verse 10, for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him forever. That is the hope we have. That we will be with him. Therefore, verse 11, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. Encourage one another, build each other up. Don't stop doing that. He said, you're doing it, that's good. Keep on doing it. Keep on doing those things that please the Lord that he has commanded us to do. Okay, so all he's done then from verses 4 all the way through 11 is just go back and forth with light and day, contrasting them, darkness and light. And in Christ we are of the light. In other words, he's just saying, be ready. Be prepared. Be alert. Be watching for his return. Okay, so on your outline now, let's go to the other side of this. Number two, the thief, here we go now, won't get you. The last time I talked about the thief will get you. The thief won't get you if you, point two here, do know the Lord. If you know the Lord, the thief is not going to get you. You will not be, this is point A, you will not be surprised. Surprised, and that is taken literally out of verse 4. So that this day should surprise you. If you know the Lord, it will not surprise you. Now, point B, you will escape God's wrath. And that is in verse 9. We are not appointed to wrath, but we will escape God's wrath. Really, here is the key. And I started my whole message this way. How do you avoid the thief? There is only one way, if you know the Lord. He will not surprise you. He will not catch you unexpectedly. At the bottom of your outline, one last little saying there. One last little statement. And it says this, preparing for a thief involves receiving Christ now. Preparing for a thief involves receiving Christ now. This has to do with not just knowing facts. Too many people know facts about God and Christ. That's not it. That is a part of it. But going beyond facts and receiving him, asking him for forgiveness, asking him to come into your life and to forgive you of your sin. That is what it means to receive Christ. When you take that step, you have prepared for a thief in terms of what the Bible says. And there is only one way to do that. It's by accepting Him. On the back of your bulletin every week, I have printed out, and I do this for a reason, there's a simple prayer that expresses how you can take this step of receiving Christ. I would encourage you, if you ever have a question about that, come talk to me. You know where to find me during the week. Give me a call after the service. If there's any time I can help you with any question you have about receiving Christ, don't ever hesitate to ask me. Amen? Thank you, Lord, for this morning. Thank you for taking the time just to spend a couple of moments focusing on your death for us. Because of that, Lord, we thank you for the forgiveness that we have. We thank you for this message that you've given to us of preparing for the day of the Lord. You've already taken care of that. Lord, while we live our lives now, help us to live our lives in a way that we are living expectantly. We are looking from you, for you, but we're also reaching out. We're also serving those in our neighborhoods, in our workplace, so that ultimately we can help them prepare for the thief that is coming. Thank you for this hope that we have in you, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen.